Hello, good morning. This is Pastor Ralph. It's week number two. I'm going live here on Facebook, and when I'm done, I'm going to save it, send the link out for those that can't watch live, and also get an email out as well. And so we'll also get it on the podcast. But good morning, everybody. I can see a couple people are starting to join. Also, when I'm done, I do have some hymns that I'm going to be uploading. Lorena was kind enough to record a couple of hymns for us, and I'll get them uploaded and post them on here as well. I'm going to get started this morning and go through and talk about the subject that we've been talking about for several weeks at Green Spring, and that is questions that God asks. And I did have a question that I was going to use for last week, and I held off on that, and I'm going to use it this week and share about that question. And so I am going to be talking about the question, why are you complaining? And with it, I'm going to read some passages that are from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 through 31, and Isaiah 41, verses 8 through 10. God's word says through the prophet Isaiah, "Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." And jump into chapter 41, starting at verse 8. "But you, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Now, before I share a message on these passages this morning, hopefully you can join me in a word of prayer, and we'll allow God to speak to each and every one of us where we're at this morning. Heavenly Father, each of us trust in you. We believe in you as our Lord, our God, our Savior. And this morning we look to your word. We look to your word to get an understanding in our lives, to get direction from you, and to get an understanding of the way that you want us to live and the attitude that we want and should take on during this time. So I ask you to speak to us through your word, that you guide us, you enrich us, and that our hearts are in tune with yours. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So at Green Spring, brethren in Christ, we've been going through this sermon series called Questions God Asks. And when you read through the Bible, you may often skim over these verses. And I know in the past I've read these verses over and over and really have never thought about them from the perspective of God asking me these questions as well. And so when looking at these questions, they're there for us in the Bible. They're there for us to understand and to focus on and think about of what is God saying to us when he asks these questions of specific people and specific groups in the Bible. And then from there, we can get an understanding in our own lives. And so we've been looking at some questions. Where are you? What is that in your hand? Stand up. What are you doing down on your face? What are you doing here? And today, the question at hand is, why are you complaining? So what is complaining? Complaining is when you're expressing your dissatisfaction or annoyance about something. And I started to think about complaining and all the different ways that we complain. And recently, painting my living room. So you could even use the complaint of, did you see the color that they painted their living room? How awful is that color? Quite often in the church, it's, did you see the color of the carpet they picked out? Can you believe that they picked that out? I can't believe they want me to go to that Sunday school class and have that carpet. We get complaints about all kinds of stuff. You know, I can't believe they want us to work in these kinds of conditions. Well, since we're working at home, I guess the conditions are our own fault. We could say, hey, why can't they let us sleep in a little bit and start work at 10 o'clock now? And maybe if you have a teenager, they're saying, why can't you let me sleep in and start school at 2 p.m.? You know, do you really want me to get out of bed at 10 o'clock in the morning and start school? So all kinds of complaints. We can come up with all kinds of things. And it's easy to complain. And we certainly live in an interesting time, a time of interesting peril, all kinds of things going on around us. And so we can easily find ourselves complaining. We watch stories about hospitals filling up, about medical professionals who are trying to treat patients, not knowing if it's going to be a loved one who is next in line or if it's going to be us. We use hand sanitizer like it's going out of style. We wash our hands 20 times a day. And so easily these times, we can find ourselves complaining. Even if we think about the last 24 hours or the last 36 hours, how many things have we complained about? And so we find ourselves living in the world of complaining. And we complain about leadership. We complain about the stores. We complain about people in the stores. We complain about being at home. We complain that we have to go out. Everything around us becomes a complaint. So I want to jump back to Isaiah 40. It's a time when the Israelites were living in Babylon. They weren't at home in Israel. And so they were living in a place that was not their home. And they take on the name of Jacob for themselves. Israel is also known as Jacob. And their home cities had been in waste for many, many years. The temple where they worship God had been in waste for many years. And their captivity was long. It was wearisome. And some may even think and look at it and say, will this captivity ever end? Will it ever come to an end? And then you have a prophet like Isaiah who's declaring God's faithfulness to them. And I'm not going to go back and read all of the verses at the beginning of chapter 40 of the preceding chapters. But Isaiah starts saying things to them about the word of God endures forever. And starts to talk about God is faithful to them. And God is there forever for them. And the wonderful power of God for them. And he talks to them about the sovereign Lord is there with power. He talks about that he rules them with a mighty arm, that he tends them as a flock takes care of a shepherd. He brings out the starry host about them. And the Israelites would sit there in their captivity in Babylon, looking out their windows and saying, yeah, right. Come on, Isaiah. You're telling us about this wonderful God who cares for us, who loves us, who's our shepherd, who has created the world around us, and you're telling us about this wonderful, everlasting God, and I'm sitting here in captivity, staring out my window at another day of disaster. And so, as Isaiah is giving them all of these words of encouragement, they come back with complaints, and they complain about their situation. They complain about what God is doing in their lives. And they complain about the lack of what they see God doing in their lives. And I bring this back because here we are. And I could repost on Facebook all day long about how great God is. I have enough Christian friends on Facebook that I see great encouragement, great passages of scripture, wonderful, wonderful things about how great God is. And then I look and say, we're all locked in our homes. We're all trying to stay safe. We're all washing our hands 20 times a day, and we're using hand sanitizer like it's going out of style. And it becomes quite easy for all of us, including myself, it becomes so easy to start complaining. And then God looks at us, and I really believe God looks at me, and God looks at you and says, why are you complaining? Why are you complaining? That's why I want to go back again to Isaiah chapter 40. And again, hear about God. Hear what God is saying to us through these chapters and these verses. And to understand where we're really at in the situation we're in. And so to start off, I want us to recognize the greatness of God. And I got to go back to Isaiah's words and recognize God's greatness. And as soon as we shift away from the greatness of God As soon as we move away from the greatness of God, we bring ourselves to the point that everything's falling apart. And Isaiah says back in chapter 40 again, he says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom." Isaiah declares to each and every one of us, we have an eternal God. We have a God who's everlasting. And when our complaining starts to bubble up, we should immediately go back to, I have an everlasting God who is in control. I may not understand everything that he does. I may not understand why we're in the middle of this pandemic and the world is in crisis, but I know that we have an everlasting God who loves us and cares for us, the creator of the ends of the earth. And this great God is the God that we serve. And with his everlasting, it brings out some attributes of God. And one of those is his everlasting care and his everlasting knowledge of us and his everlasting love for us. I want to read a verse from Psalm 139. It's verse 16. And God says, through David, he says, "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." When I read Psalm 139, 16 and understand that all the days of my life were written in his book before any one of them came to be, right away I know that God is not writing a history book about what happens in my life every day. God has already written the history book about everything that is going to happen in my life every day. Again, God's a sovereign God. He knows exactly the situation that each and every one of us are in, and he cares for us, and he carries us through those situations. His eternal nature knows our yesterday, he knows our today, and he knows our tomorrow. And with the greatness of God, there's no surprises. And that's what I'm resting in, and hopefully that you can rest in as well. With the greatness of God, there's no surprises. He's able to prepare us for the situations that we are going through. He's able to care for us in the situations that we sit in and we go through. And he's able to walk with us through those situations as well. In Genesis chapter 22, we have the story of Abraham. And Genesis chapter 22 is when Abraham's going to take his son Isaac and sacrifice him. And he takes Isaac and some of his servants and they walk away and they travel for several days and they get to the point where Abraham's going to go by himself with Isaac and sacrifice his son. And in Genesis chapter 22, and I'm going to read verse 5 for you, Abraham says to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Now, how can Abraham ever say such a thing? How can Abraham walk with the presumption that I'm going over there to sacrifice my son Isaac on an altar, yet we, Abraham and Isaac, are both going to come back to the servants? How could he say such a thing? We're going to go over there and worship, and then we're going to come back. Why? Because he knew Isaac was a son of promise. He knew Isaac was the son that he was going to have, who would bring about a generation that would serve God and who would love God. And with his son of promise, Abraham knew that Isaac would continue to live. He knew the greatness of God. He knew that God was bigger than this situation that he was walking into. And he knew that Isaac and him would return. And so he knew whatever situation came up in life, whatever troubles came across their way, he knew that God would be in control and that God would be there taking care of each of them. So I come back to our own situation. No surprise, on this day that we would be having church through FaceTime Live and I would be doing a sermon through FaceTime Live. No surprise to God whatsoever. And so we can walk with the knowledge, knowing that God is in control and that God's greatness is there for us. I want to keep going with God's greatness because it touches us in different ways. And that's the first place. God's greatness touches us. And sometimes it's difficult enough to understand the greatness of God, But next, we need to bring this to the point where we know that God's greatness touches each and every one of us. In your situation right now, in my situation right now, in your home, in your workplace, wherever you may be right today, and whatever you're walking through this past week and this next week, God is with you and God's greatness touches you. God is with you. God is with each and every one of us. Continuing with the verses from Isaiah chapter 40, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Do you ever get weary? Do you ever get faint? Do you ever grow weak? Do you ever stumble and fall? Do you ever get trapped in the middle of a global pandemic? A global pandemic, and wonder, what in the world is going on? Do you ever find yourself without work and wondering, how in the world are we going to pay our bills? My work is not even working. And using those situations, how in the world are we going to get through this? And then we come back and understand the greatness of God touches each and every one of us. Romans 10:13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The greatness of God touches us first with his salvation. And I don't want to skip over this at all. God's salvation gives us eternal life. The greatness of God touches us in giving us eternal life. The greatness of God loves us so much that he gave Jesus Christ to die for our sins on the cross, to cleanse us from all of our sins. That's how much God's greatness is and how much he touches us, that whomever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We can't ever run from that. We can't ever hide from that. And the greatness of God touching our lives starts there when we say, God, I want you to be my Savior, and to trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And then from there, we allow the blessings of God to flow. We keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and understand that each and every day he cares for us and he carries us through life. The same Savior who saves us is the same one who says in Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. When we look at the life of Jesus, we can really understand how much he touches people. Jesus reached out and touched people all of the time who were going through troubled times. He reached out and touched the lives of the hungry. You can read the stories of him feeding the 5,000 or feeding the 4,000. He reached out and touched those lives. He reached out and touched those that were blind. He reached out and touched those who had leprosy, who had disease, who had hurt, who had pain, who had concerns. He reached out and touched people who had sin in their lives. He reached out and touched people right exactly where they were at. And in all those situations, he didn't say, well, get out of your trouble, and then I'll reach out and I'll touch your life. In all those situations, he reached out to people in the situation they were in. Right now, in the situation that you are in, the situation that I'm in, God's greatness is reaching out and touching you. In the same way that Isaiah was communicating to the Israelites in Babylon, he was saying, you have a great God. And when you're tired, when you're weak, when you're in trouble, God's greatness is reaching out into your life. Are you going to complain? Or are you going to allow God's greatness touch into your life? And that's the first step of God's greatness reaching out to us and touching our lives in that way. I'm going to keep going again with the greatness of God, because not only do we have the greatness of God and the greatness of God touching our lives, we have the greatness of God that's encouraging us. And I'm going to jump into those verses that I shared in chapter 41 of Isaiah in verse 10, where God says, so do not fear, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Have you ever been out on a rainy day, walking with a three-year-old, and you're walking along, and you're holding the three-year-old's hand, and you come up to a really, really big puddle, one of those that where you're going to step off of the curb, and you know that puddle is about 2 or 3 inches deep, and you don't want your three-year-old stepping into that puddle and getting wet clear up to their knees as you walk through the puddle. And so what do? You sort of grab a little bit tighter onto the three-year-old's hand, and you pick them up in your arm, and you walk through the puddle, and then on the other side, you let the three-year-old back down, and you keep walking together. And so as you go through that puddle, as you go through that mess, you carry the three-year-old along because you know it's a wet and cold and rainy day. And as the adult, you don't want the three-year-old to get soaked to the knees, wet and soggy and miserable, and go through that kind of a problem on that day. Two aspects in that little story that I shared with you. One is you need the adult who cares enough, who loves enough, and who has enough strength to pick up the three-year-old and carry them across. But you also know you need the three-year-old who wants to be carried. Two aspects of it. God's love for us is great. God's greatness is wonderful. And God is the parent. He's the one who is big enough, who is strong enough to carry us across a puddle. We're the three-year-old. We need to be the one who's willing to grab a hold of God's hand and hold on to God's hand while he picks us up and carries us across the puddle. When God says to us, "Why are you complaining? Why are you complaining?" Then I have to go back and I have to say, "Oh, the troubled time that I'm going through, am I holding on to God's hand? Or am I just sitting and wallowing in the puddle? When I'm going through the tough times, am I holding on to God's hand? Or am I just sitting in the puddle complaining and throwing a little bit of a fit?" God says, "Don't fear." So do not fear. There's recipe number one, don't fear. We have a great God. Second thing he says to us, and encouraging us, "For I am with you." He's carrying us across that puddle. "I am with you." Third thing he says, "Don't be dismayed." Don't be dismayed. And then he reminds us in the end, "I am your God." And he reminds us again, "I am the God who will strengthen you. I am the God who will help you. I am the God who will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Whenever you come across that in Scripture, God's right hand, always remember his right hand in Scripture is a sign of power and a sign of strength. He doesn't uphold us with his weak hand. He takes all of his strength, he takes all of his power, and he upholds us and carries us. In Psalm 121, we hear the psalmist saying, "I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from?" To be encouraged by God's greatness, we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Where does my help come from? Does it come from my own making, my own creativity, my own discernment? Or does my help come from keeping my eyes focused on God, trusting in God for his wisdom, trusting in God for his direction, trusting in God for his strength, trusting in God to calm my fears, trusting in God to give me peace, trusting in God to carry us through a puddle, which right now all of us seem to be focused on is the coronavirus pandemic. We need to keep allowing God to uphold us with his righteous right hand. So the question comes back to, why are you complaining? And when God asks me that question, why are you complaining? I have to really answer and say, "God, I don't know. I don't know. I really have no right to complain. I really have no justice at all in walking through life with complaints." And the reasons are is because I have a great God. I have a God who touches my life. I have a God who encourages me. And knowing all of those things, when God says, "Ralph, why are you complaining?" I have to answer in a way and say, "I guess I shouldn't be complaining. Because I have a great God. And I have a God who trusts us, who touches us, and I have a God who encourages us. We're given the choice, all of us are given the choice in our lives. Do we complain or do we trust God? I want to read to you all of Psalm 121 in wrapping up and concluding, because I believe this psalm is an encouragement to each and every one of us in understanding how great God is. The psalmist writes, he says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. And I know when the psalmist writes this and he has the name Israel in there, is the Israel nation, I think we can all put our own name in there. Indeed, he who watches over Ralph will neither slumber nor sleep. He who watches over, put your name in there, whatever your name is. He who watches over will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Take Psalm 121, get your Bible out, get a pen out, and write God's message to me. God will take care of you. God's great. God's greatness touches you. God's greatness should encourage you. When you find yourself complaining, say, no, I really don't have a reason to complain. I have a great God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we trust in your greatness. We trust in your greatness because we know everything else around us fails at some point. Our cars break down. Pipes in our house will break and leak. Dishwashers will break, toilets will overflow, toilet paper will run out in grocery stores. Things that we trust in, that we consider so simple in everyday life, always fails around us. And with everything that fails around us, you never change. You continue on as the everlasting God who loves us and cares for us. We thank you for that. We thank you that you are the everlasting God who loves us and cares for us. We thank you for the gift of salvation that you have given to us through Jesus Christ. We thank you that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We thank you, Heavenly Father, in our coming and our going, you will be our strength. You will be the shield around us. You will be our great God. We love you. We'll keep trusting in you. And the next time we complain, because I know I will, and I know each of us will, the next time we complain, bring to our minds the question, why do you complain? And very quickly we'll find ourselves saying, forgive us, Lord, for complaining. Help us to keep trusting in you. You're a great God. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for joining this morning. God bless you and God keep you. May his peace rest on you. And may you find yourself having a wonderful day. I love you. Have a great day. God bless.